Let us pray. O God, on all our journeys, paths of joy and sadness, ways of knowing and not knowing, you walk with us and open to us the truth. Open our eyes to see you. Open the ears of our hearts to hear you, singing to us your love. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. You pray to God, believing God judges all people impartially according to their actions. So live in reverent fear during your life in this strange world. You have been set free from the futile ways you learned from your ancestors. Not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a perfect, innocent lamb. Christ embodied this divine love for us, so the foundation of the world, but now has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, who raised Christ from the dead into glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now you have devoted yourselves to the truth, preparing your souls for genuine mutual love. So love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the continuation of the good news in Luke's gospel in the 24th chapter. As they were walking along, Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk here?"
They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place in these days?"
Jesus asked them, "What things?"
They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning when they did not find his body. They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was still alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared." And then he said, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself in the scriptures. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is God so hard to see? I think that story strikes a nerve because we know what it's like to feel like we didn't see God. God was maybe there and we just didn't notice. And sometimes we wonder if God is there because we sure don't see God. And sometimes we want to just cry out and say, "God, why don't you just show yourself? Why don't you just come so we can see? Why is God always trying to be invisible?" Well, the problem is that God isn't trying to be invisible. The problem is that we don't know what we're looking for. So often, when we think we're looking for God, what we're really looking for is kind of a cartoon character. We're looking for some guy in a long white robe and a deep voice. And that's not God. Think of Mother Nature. You know, we talk about Mother Nature, but nobody actually expects to see some woman in a long flowing dress with stars and moons in her hair. We know that's just a figure of speech. When we say Mother Nature, we really just mean nature. But we haven't yet figured out that when we say God, that's just a figure of speech. When we say our Heavenly Father, what we mean is really heaven. What we really mean is love. God is infinite. God is not a spirit. God is a spirit. And God is certainly personal, but God isn't a person. God isn't a human being because God isn't even a being. God is being. That's what God says to Moses in the burning bush. I am. I be. I am being. And we're always looking for this little piece of being, this little part that's an individual sort of guy with real human emotions who does things. So it's hard for us to notice this infinite presence of love that gives rise to all creation, that is continually loving us into being, that is in everything and every moment. Part of the difficulty, too, is that when we're looking for God, we're specifically looking for somebody who will make things better. You know, when things are looking dicey and then they turn out okay, how often we say, well, whew, God was looking out for me. As if somehow there's this God who's looking out for one particular person who didn't have the accident, but what does that mean? Was totally ignorant of somebody else who did have the accident? That God was watching over somebody who got better from cancer but ignored the person who didn't? That's not really God. God is not somebody who just makes things better. God is the love that makes all things. And there is love there. It's just not a person. It's hard for us to get our heads around. So we have to look for God in a completely new way. We have to look for God with new eyes. And it just so happens that this morning's gospel story suggests to us four different ways that we can practice looking for God with new eyes. There are sort of four acts to this story that have become the four acts of our worship this morning. In the first act, Jesus walks along with the disciples and says, "Tell me your story. What's going on?" And so with Jesus, they reflect on their experience. The ancient Hebrews had this mind-blowing understanding. Unlike any other religion in the world, if we want to know God, we can do that by reflecting together on our experience. So other traditions have stories about this and that and the other thing, all these gods traipsing around heaven doing stuff. But our story is our story. We were slaves in Egypt. And here's what happened to us. We knew this guy named Jesus, and here's what happened. We experience this. We reflect together on our experience. And when we do that, especially together, we see God in our lives that we didn't see while we were blowing our way through it. It's only when we stop and reflect that we begin to see how God has been in our life. We just didn't notice. So it's only at the end of this story, for instance, when the disciples realize, oh, Jesus was with us all along. We didn't realize because we were looking for something in particular and our minds weren't open enough. back in Montana, I did a lot of church camps, high school summer camps. And I can remember once on the shores of Flathead Lake in Cedar Cabin with Vicky Wida doing our little circle of six or eight kids out of the hundreds that we have. We break them up into little bunches. And one of the things that we always did sooner or later in our church camps was to ask the kids, tell us your story, something about who you are and what your life is all about, and where do you see God in your life? And as it goes around the circle, they all have different stories, and they see God in lots of different places. Most of them see God in sunsets, puppies, and when things turn out okay. You know, they won the state championship, or the girlfriend that they kind of liked says that she likes them, or whatever it is. And then it got around to this one kid who was not a churchgoer. We had a lot of those kids who weren't religious, weren't churchgoers at all. They just came because somebody invited them. He came from a pretty rough life, pretty sandpapery kind of home life, not real nurturing. And he had no religious background at all. So he told us the story of his life in sort of bare kind of way that a 15-year-old boy might. He didn't get much detail. And then he sort of sighed and looked around and said, I don't see God in my life. And Vicky said, well, you just told us your story. Were we listening to you? Yeah, I guess you were. Did you notice that while you were telling us your story? No, I was just telling my story. So you were telling your story and didn't notice that we were all listening through that whole story. You know what else? You were living your whole story and didn't even notice that God was listening to that whole thing all these years. And he puzzled over that for a second. And then he sort of leaned forward and he said, really? And for a moment, he began to see God in his life in a completely new way. Not the one who makes everything come out all right, because his life wasn't coming out all that well. But the one who listens. When we reflect on our experience, we begin to see God in new ways. Not just the one who makes it all turn out okay in the end, but the one who walks with us. After all, the disciples on their way to Emmaus had just gone through an experience that did not turn out all right. Their best friend and leader and spiritual teacher had just gotten executed, and they were afraid for their lives. And then they realized that those awful times are when God was with them. There's a second part to the story. After they have reflected on their experience together, Jesus reflects on their experience in light of the scriptures. And he goes back through all the scriptures and connects what they've experienced with what's in scripture. It's surprising to me how many people really sincerely intend to be Christian and never read the Bible. As if there's nothing to be gained there. There's all these old Bronze Age stories, but nothing about my life in the Bible that I would need to know. When in fact, the Bible is full of all of these insights from our elders who for thousands of years have been reflecting on their experience together and seeing God in their lives. The people who don't read the Bible are also seemingly the people who frequently say, well, how come God never appears anymore? And I want to say, well, because you don't read the Bible. Read the Bible, you start seeing God. Not all the Bible, let's be honest. There are parts of the Bible that you can read over and over, and it'll be pretty hard to find God in the book of Judges. It's pretty hard without a lot of study and a lot of background to really connect deeply with God, reading nothing but the rules of how to build a tabernacle, or the names of all the people that were assigned to the various priestly duties in the temple. Yeah, skip that part. There are parts in the Bible that are profound in their ability to open our eyes to see God in our lives with the help of other people who've been doing that for thousands of years, who've been looking with open eyes. Again, it helps to do it together. You can go off by yourself and read the Bible and you're at the mercy of your own ignorance. But when we're sharing together, we hear one another's perspectives and we begin to see God in our lives in new way. There's a third act. When they get to Emmaus, you'll hear this part. They invite Jesus to stay with them. And as they sit down to dinner, Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. Then their eyes are opened. Now, we don't know if Jesus ever actually did that. But it does seem to be that from early on, this is sort of a liturgical formula that everybody recognized as the Jesus thing. You take bread, you bless it, you break it, you give it. That's what Jesus does. And that's what we do every time we come to this table and we say this big long prayer and we bless the bread and we break it and then we share it with each other. One of the ways to open our eyes to see God in our lives is in our worship. Believe it or not, every part of our worship is prayer. Even the offering, even the announcements, even the mistakes. It's all the way in which we open ourselves to God's presence. It takes some intentionality. You have to be listening. If you're just sitting there deciding whether you like the music or agree with the sermon or are getting out on time, you'll probably miss it. But if you're looking for God, if you're listening for the voice of God, something will open. You won't necessarily hear it in this hour. Prayer is like that. When you pray, you're not necessarily ever going to hear anything in your prayers. Praying is simply practicing for listening all day long. So we come and we practice listening for the voice of God. And sometimes it's in words, like the scriptures of the sermon. Sometimes it's in something more than words, like the prayers. Sometimes there are no words, like in the bread. Like when the bells play, they don't even have words. And we listen, and we hear. In prayer, we simply open our hearts for what God might have to say to us in new ways that we maybe haven't heard yet. We keep opening. There's one more act in our worship. It's pretty short. It comes right at the end, but it's so important. In the story, the disciples at Emmaus, once they realize that they've seen the risen Christ, they run back to Jerusalem and they tell the good news. There's this part of our worship in which we don't just say, okay, we're done now. In fact, what we say is, on your mark, get set, go now. Now we're getting to the good part. We go out into the world and we serve. We tell the good news in words and deeds. We serve one another. It's in serving sometimes that it finally becomes clear what God looks like. In fact, the part of our worship that we have, I continually see what God looks like, and it's the most wonderful experience. I've purposely not asked for three additional people to help us serve communion besides the three of us. Because every time we do communion, You all come forward one by one. You hold out your empty hands. And I give you a piece of bread. You get a little dip of grape juice. And there's this wonderful thing that happens. As you keep coming forward, all of these people, I know your stories. I know some of the things that you struggle with and pray about, and some of your victories and defeats and your concerns and your hopes. And how beautiful every single person is. And I think, this is what God looks like. It's so cool. So we're going to have three extra spots today. And I invite somebody who's never served communion before to come help. And just look for God. Because sometimes we see God most clearly when we are serving. Then we see. In all these different ways, in reflecting on our experience, in conversation with Scripture, in our prayer, in our worship, in serving in the church and out in the world, we open the eyes of our hearts and the ears of our hearts to see and hear the presence of God in brand new ways. And we see so much more than just the guy in the robe who's going to make things better. We encounter the infinite, loving presence of the one, for lack of anything like a reasonable name, we shrug and call God, who's actually infinite. And right here, right now, will you pray with me? God, you who are lovingly present, we open our hearts beyond the seeing and hearing of our senses, simply to be open to your presence with trust and gratitude and love. Loving God, you who breathe us into life each moment, may we always be open, seeking your presence, listening, and ready. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.